Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
We're going to talk about why. Ethereum's up like 20% in the last 10 days. And, you know, we talked about this a few weeks on Strategy Sunday. There's a great opportunity. There's two opportunities we're going to talk about. One in the stock market, one in crypto. Ethereum is going to $3,000 in the next few, I say before the end of the year, early next year. And there's a huge reason why that's going to happen. And it's happening right now. Ethereum was at $1,200, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's at $1,700 now. It's up 40% already. And it's leading up to an event that's on the horizon, that's coming right now. That's one of the biggest events in crypto history. And it may change how cryptocurrency is transacted and how it's verified into the future. Right now, we know that Bitcoin's down. We know crypto's down. This is an opportunity that's going to come right in the middle of a bear market. And when the crypto does recover in 24, to end of 24, early 25, that's going to be even magnified by the gains after the Bitcoin halving. Ethereum is one of the biggest crypto opportunities on the planet. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about BitGert. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of stocks that I think are going well. I want to start by talking about fear. And then we're going to move on to talk about a couple of great stock market tips. Then we're going to talk about a couple of good cryptos. So I want to talk a little bit about fear, because fear is one of the biggest things that hold people back. Fear is one of the things that I notice when we do our mentorship. We talk to people, you know, I meet people all the time at different events. And the first thing they tell me is that I'm scared. I'm scared to invest. I'm scared to move out of my job. I'm scared to start a new business. I'm scared to do all these things, right? It's a fear that people have, that fear is one of the worst things you can have, because it's really irrational. Because, I mean, if you're not going to die, if your kid's okay, your family's okay, what are you afraid of? Why are you so afraid? What does it matter? Well, you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of being 75 years old. It's all over. You can't change anything. You can't go back and recapture your potential. And you're staring at the ceiling in your deathbed saying, what could have happened? The two scariest words for me are not what could happen, what might happen. What the two scariest words for me are, what if? What if is scary. Those two words are terrifying to me. Leaving your job or whatever, changing your business, investing, that ain't scary to me. It's the fact that one day I can look back and the time is over and I'm thinking, what if I would have invested? What if I would have quit that job? And what if I would have followed my dreams? What if I would have tried a little harder, pushed a little harder, learned a little more, took a little bit more risk? What if? That's the scariest thing to me. All this other stuff don't scare me. How do you deal with, people ask me all the time, how do you deal with this, that, and the other? Well, that's don't scare me. What scares me is that not at least trying to fulfill my potential. That's what scares me more than anything. And that's what I'm going to say. But I want to move on, right? Talk about the Ethereum merge. Now, the Ethereum merge is a change in the way that Ethereum transacts transactions, right? And it's a completely, fundamentally different way in which crypto is going to move forward. Right now, there's something called proof of work. It uses a lot of electricity to validate transactions. They're going to move to something called proof of stake, which is a lot less energy intensive, a lot more efficient, and a lot faster. So it's going to make Ethereum one of the fastest, most efficient cryptos on the planet. It's already number two. It already has a lot of NFTs, projects, smart contracts written on top of it. It's going to take Ethereum to the next level. And one of my predictions I've had for the last 5 years is that this could possibly put Ethereum on the path to be the number one crypto in the world. Right now, it's Bitcoin. Ethereum's number two. I think that this merge could put Ethereum on the path to be the biggest crypto on the planet before 2025. 2024, we know, is when Bitcoin halves again. We know that there's going to be another bull market. This merge could take Ethereum to $5,000. That bull market will push it to $20,000, $30,000. Right now, you're looking at a $1,700 Ethereum. Within 2.5 years, it could be at $20,000. That's like 15, 16 times your money. XRP is another play. Tonight, our flips, we're talking about Ethereum. Now, XRP, I still believe in it. You can have more than one horse that you believe in. I still believe in Ethereum. I still believe in XRP. I still believe in Bitcoin. We're talking about Ethereum tonight because this is what's happening right now. This, right now, before the merge, Ethereum's only 40% of its potential. The merge is going to make it stronger, faster, more efficient, and it's going to cause the price of it to go up dramatically in a bear market. So for people who missed Bitcoin, for people who missed other cryptos, for people who in the bull run of 2020-21 said, God, I missed it. You know, I should have got it when I saw it at 3,000. This is your chance right now. Ethereum's available on a lot of platforms. I don't have to tell you. Everywhere you can get Bitcoin, you can get Ethereum. It's easy to get. It's not hard to understand. It's a good price. Right now, it's staring in front of you in your face. But now I encourage you. Part of what I do is I make you aware of things, but I want you to research it. I don't want you to take my word for it and run off and buy the Ethereum, because that's not what we're about. We're about getting you to learn, getting you to grow, getting you to have these concepts in your head so you can make plays in the future based on what you've learned from me and in the CNC if you choose to join. This is what's going on right now. We're at a point right now, a lot of people forgot about it. You know, Bitcoin's kind of going down, crypto's going down, so they moved off. But this is your chance. And that's why we talked about fear. Fear creeps in at the low points of the market. But the crazy thing about that is the low parts, like right now, is when people become millionaires. When everybody else is scared, when everybody else is running for the hills, when everybody else is in the corner crying with their head between their hands. That's when you should be executing. That's when you should be able to operate in the chaos. That's when you should be able to push your fear, because everybody has fear. I heard somebody tell me before that there's no bravery without fear. You got fear, it's about managing the fear. Everybody's scared. I'm not getting the most fearsome thing you probably doing, don't realize getting your car every morning to drive to work or wherever you drive it. That's the riskiest thing you do in your life. For some, fear is good. It's about how you handle the fear and operate within that fear. So like I said, Ethereum is probably my biggest crypto holding I have by far. And I've always believed in it strongly. I always thought that it's going to eventually pass Bitcoin. So there's another coin that I think is going to do extremely well. We've been talking about it over the last 3 weeks, and it's called Bitgert Orb Rise. Bitgert is, right now, it's kind of creeping up. When we started first talking about it, it was like listed number 2,500 on the list of, you know, cryptos by market cap. Right now, it's number 222. You see, it's already creeping up. It was 2000 when we first started talking about it. It's on page 3 now. So Bitgert is a crypto that I also strongly believe in. It's similar to Ethereum, but it also is a lot more fast, a lot more efficient, and it's in a new stage. It's brand new, or close to being brand new. And we're in a bull cycle right now, a bullish wave, they call it, on Bitgert. Right? So a lot of major analysts in the crypto market are predicting a 300% rise in Bitgert over the next month. 300%, right? And I agree with them. I think that over the next, before the end of the month, which what's today, is the September, let's say about first week of October, I can clearly see Bitgert at 300% higher than where we're at today. And I always got to say this, if no crazy thing happens in the overall world economy and stuff like that. Now, I can't control a war. I can't control some kind of attack, anything like that, or something crash. I can't control that. And I always got to say this because people don't understand this. These predictions are based on if everything continues to go forward as we are today. And there's nothing crazy, no catastrophe happens over the next 4 weeks. Now, if the United States getting invaded by China for 3 weeks from now, and then somebody comes on live, I thought you said Ethereum's going to be here, BitGirl was going to be here. What happened? Of course. I can't predict that. Right? We can only predict based on nothing crazy happening over the next 4 weeks. So I want to talk about a couple of more things. There's two stocks out there. There's one stock that I'm extremely bullish on, and another stock that I'm long-term bullish on. And we've talked about this over the last few weeks also. So there's two stocks out there that are related to technology. You know, a lot of times people say, Armando, why do you always pick tech stocks? Sometimes I will pick other types of stocks, but a lot of times I will pick tech stocks because I understand tech, and I encourage you guys to do the same thing. Is that if you have insight into a particular industry, maybe you're in nursing, maybe you're in medicine, maybe you're a construction, maybe you're a contractor, you have insight to particular industries and sectors. And you can use that insight to make a lot of money in the stock market if you leverage that experience, that knowledge, that insight into making stock picks. So let's move on. So I said there was a few stocks over the last few months that did what's called a stock split. Now, I want to explain stock splits. What a stock split is that, let's go back to elementary school, right? How many people had pizza parties in elementary school? If we go back to elementary school, back 20, 30 years, depending on how old you are, we know that we had pizza parties. It was a benefit of getting a reward or being good, whatever, you have a pizza party. A lot of times the teachers would do is, you know, teachers are strapped for money. The schools are strapped for money. So let's say you got a pizza and it was 10 slices. They would say, well, we're going to take the pizza in the back and cut these slices in half. Now we got 20 slices. Now it's the same amount of pizzas, but the kids who mess over their pizzas and stuff, may not even eat the whole slices, they can feel like they have more. So we still got the concept of, do you want one slice of pizza or two? But we know that the two slices really are one slice. But what it does is it makes the kids feel like they have more, even though it's the same pizza. Well, that's what a stock split is. Of course, it's a lot more than this, but let's say you got 10 million Amazon stocks. Each stock is $3,000. So now a lot of people can't afford $3,000 stocks. So these 10 million stocks represent the entire value of Amazon. So if you buy one stock, it's one out of 10 millionth of a share of Amazon. So they say, well, people can't afford this $3,000 stock. So what we're going to do is we're going to split it 10 to 1. So now each one is worth $300. So now instead of me having one stock, I got 10 stocks. It still represents, just like that pizza, it still represents the same part of the company. But now you got more, right? But with stocks, it does something different. Because the prices are now lower for each individual stock, it increases the demand for the stock, just like with the pizza. Now, instead of me telling everybody I ate 5 slices of pizza, I ate 10 slices. So it increases the demand for that pizza. Actually, in schools, it probably does reverse. But in the stock market, because the prices are cheaper, now more people can get involved. A lot of people got $300. Maybe a few people ain't got about $3,000. But a lot of people got $300. A lot of people got $150. Whatever the price is, a lot cheaper. So now the price responds, goes up a lot higher. The purpose of a stock split is to get those prices down to a number to where more people can buy the stock and increase the demand. And it also increases what's called liquidity, it makes the market easier to buy and sell stocks, which also causes the price to go up too. So one of the principal reasons of a stock split is that you want the price of it to go up. Amazon did a stock split a couple of months ago. They're like $1,500 stocks down to like $150. And a lot of analysts have said that Amazon should double before the year is over. And I strongly believe that because Amazon is underpriced right now. It unfairly took a hit because of the overall stock market fail. But Amazon is actually increasing in certain areas. Now, I think that e-commerce took a small hit, but a lot of their money comes from cloud computing, the AWS platform. A lot of their money comes from advertising. People don't realize this because they don't actually report their advertising revenue as like a line item on their quarterly reports. They sell advertising on the Fire Sticks, and that business is growing rapidly. And their core business, which is e-commerce, is also growing. They're expanding into different regions of Earth. They're expanding their delivery business on different places on Earth, Africa, China, different places like that. Amazon, right now I'm going to tell you this, and I don't really tell people about my long-term option plays. I got a long-term option play. I think it's like 18 months or whatever I took it out on Amazon. And I think it's going to pay off big time. Because like I said, right now, Amazon is unfairly undervalued. And if don't take my word for it, research it. Go look online and find out what most analysts say. And then do your own research. If you agree with it, you may want to take this play also. And there's one more stock that I want to talk about. I've talked about this before too, but I want to reiterate it. And this is closely linked to the metaverse concept. NVIDIA is a graphic processor company. Graphic processors are what creates the graphics on your computer screen. The way the computers work, but when the computers first started, it was a central processing unit, graphics, and the data went through this processor unit. But because graphics started getting better and better, 3D graphics and more colors, just a lot more heavier graphics, they split it into two different processing units, one for the data and one for the graphics. So when they did that, NVIDIA took advantage of that market and started creating dedicated process units just for graphics. And they're one of the biggest ones in the world that do this. Now, with this metaverse concept, one of the reasons why, let me ask you a question. How many people have actually been in the metaverse, either through the VR headset or online, and thought, why are the graphics so bad? Like, why are the graphics so cartoony? Why aren't they realistic? Why aren't they photorealistic like everything else? And the reason is because we don't have the bandwidth in our internet yet, and we don't have the graphic processing units to generate that kind of 3D environment real time. That's a lot to generate. Like in a game, for example, if I play like a game online, it's different than what's happening with that VR headset. The VR headset has to generate a lot more graphics than, let's say, a game does. Because let's say if I'm playing like Battlefield or something, most of the graphics around me are just generated by the system, right? Like, for example, if you put like the world that you're in, they're generated by the system, so it doesn't take as much processing power. When you generate the metaverse world, everything is generated from the ground up, so it takes a lot more power. So NVIDIA is in a position right now to benefit greatly from the metaverse concept. And I'm going to tell you something else that they're doing. This is a 4 or 5 year play for me, though. One thing that they're doing is that they're starting to create data centers for the metaverse that process these 3D graphics at their data centers and serve it out to the people. Now, there's nobody on Earth that does this right now. Google has data centers, but not 3D data centers that render the 3D graphics on site and send it out over the internet to the clients. And I think that if they actually pull this off, you're talking about a 5-10 times gain in their stock price based on where it's at today. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. It's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.